One has said, if you want to read the thermometer of your spiritual life, look at the thermostat setting on your prayer life. Think of that for a moment. An interesting thing to consider. A challenging thing to consider. It's the very clear message. It's the obvious focus of instruction mentioned in every single verse from 13 to 18. It's the singular subject of James this morning, prayer. Verse 13, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. Let me share with you four things this morning from James chapter 5. First, this, the priority of prayer. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Remember, James is writing to Jews who've been scattered across the known world, forced to leave their homes, their way of life, all because of persecution, because of trouble. James is writing to Jewish believers. Because they are Jews, most certainly because they are Christians, they find hostility wherever they go, no matter where they go. They're in trouble, under tremendous stress and pressure. Back to James chapter 1, the first topic of discussion, learning to consider it joy whenever you face trials. Learning to let the testing produce perseverance. From the beginning now to the end, James clearly understands. He's writing to brothers. He's writing to sisters whose lives are seemingly made up of nothing more than trials and tests. They live constantly, even only, in the midst of hostility, persecution, stress and pressure, temptation, and they're weak. Emotionally, ready to give up, some of them. They're enduring physical suffering and sickness. Some of them involved in sin, resulting in that physical suffering and sickness. To put it mildly, to state the obvious, they're in trouble for sure. Likely because of all that, many have wandered from the faith, in the church still, but possessing nothing more than a dead faith, which is no faith at all. And so then throughout James, the test of living faith, whereby the brother, the sister can know for sure where they stand with the Lord, whether or not they in fact stand with him at all. But many of them are still truly saved. They pass the test. And the message of James, in the midst of all the tests, in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of all the trouble, endure, persevere. Back to James chapter 1. No doubting, no double-mindedness, no wavering, no wobbling instability. Instead, eyes fixed on future glory, confident of this. Assured of this, enduring and persevering because of this. James chapter 1 and verse 12. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Can I remind you, there is an end in sight for us all. An end to the trial. an end to the suffering, an end to the persecution, an end to the trouble. On that day, that glorious day, oh, what a day that will be when we stand before Him and receive from Him the crown of life. The message of James 5, if you're going to do that, if you're going to endure and persevere like that until the end, if you're going to stand through the test until the day of blessing, that day of eternal reward, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to pray. If you're going to do that, you're only going to do that because you pray. When in a trial, under pressure, tempted, tormented, persecuted, when so emotionally drained, discouraged, and depressed, you don't know how to go on. You don't know even if you can go on. When burdened by more than you can bear, when suffering, afflicted, hurt, in pain, whatever it is, when in trouble, there's nothing more important than prayer. This the advice of James, the Spirit-inspired, singular piece of advice from him. This the word of the Lord for these scattered and persecuted, in trouble believers. Listen now, this the word of the Lord for you and for me today. If you're in a trial, under pressure, tempted, persecuted, emotionally drained, discouraged and or depressed, burdened, suffering, afflicted, hurt and in pain, if you're in trouble this morning, here it is. This is what you do. You pray. One says this, far too many of us want to throw in the towel before we throw up the prayers. James says, don't do that. In fact, really, James says, you don't do anything until first you've prayed. I believe it's John Bunyan, author of The Pilgrim's Progress, who gets original credit for the quote, you can do more then pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Listen, hear the word of the Lord this morning. If you're in trouble, pray. Yes, after you pray, you might can do and maybe even will need to do more, but until you pray, you can't do anything. Until you've prayed, you've missed the very thing that is the very best thing for you in that trouble. So pray. Listen, my brother, my sister, don't just think about it. Don't just think about the trouble. Don't just ponder over the difficulty. I wonder if I can do this. I wonder if I can talk to them. I wonder if this will fix it all. Don't complain about it. Don't just talk to others even about it. Pray about it. It ought to be the sort of knee-jerk reaction to the believer. Under pressure, pray. Frustrated? Are you frustrated? Are you frustrated at work? Are you frustrated at home? Are you frustrated at school? Are you frustrated with your finances? Are you frustrated in your health? Then pray. Persecuted? Facing hostility? Pray. Are you discouraged this morning? Feeling defeated? Life's got you down? This is what you do. You pray. Burdened by the circumstances of life. Are you weak in your body? Listen, you can get to making the doctor's appointment tomorrow. Today you pray. You can worry about the prescription getting refilled tomorrow. Today you pray. This is what we do. In the trial, in the trouble, we pray. How simple that would be, right? How so obvious. And yet, isn't it true? All too often, we can do everything but pray. All too often, we fail to do the very thing that is the very best thing. We fail to pray. Look at the rest of the verse. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Prayer is really, very simply defined, communion with God. Communication with God. In light of that, praise is really prayer, is it not? It's not the petitioning, the pleading kind of communion and communication. Rather, it's the honoring, the glorifying and thanking kind. So do you understand the message of James? If you're in trouble, pray. And if you're not, still pray. In trouble, not in trouble, and happy because you aren't, it doesn't matter. Praying or praising, either way, you ought to be in constant communion and constant communication with God. Listen, unless I miss my guess, some of us would need the reminder this morning. So let me remind you, and let me remind me, prayer is not reserved for the trouble. Too many Christians in the church today that want nothing to do with communion and communication with God until they're in trouble. Too many Christians today that know nothing, the power of prayer and the intimacy of prayer until they're in trouble. Then they want to pray all the time. God help me. God deliver me. God get me out of this mess. James says if you're in trouble, yes, pray. But James also says if you're not in trouble, you still pray. You, my brother, my sister, you're a child of God. You ought to be all the time in communion and communication with Him who is your Father. All the time pleading and petitioning Him. All the time asking of Him, making your requests known to Him. Be careful, you'll have not because you ask not. So all the time be asking of Him. All the time worshiping Him. All the time communicating to Him the honor and the glory that He is most certainly worthy to receive. All the time communicating to Him your thanks for all that He is to you, all that He's been to you, all that He's done for you, all that He will yet do for you. No wonder then the command of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, pray continually. All the time praying. Listen, never stop praying. In Acts 16, having been stripped and beaten, severely flogged, Paul and Silas are thrown into a Philippian jail cell. But you know it, at the midnight hour, watch this now, they are praying and they are praising. How about that? Sometimes it's not one or the other. Sometimes you do both. You do the pleading kind of prayer, and you do the worshiping, honoring, glorifying, thanking kind as well. Listen, life is made up of good days and bad. In the troubled days, happy days because you're not. Simply put then, prayer has everything to do with your ability to deal with any and all of life. Prayer is critical, an absolute necessity for you and for me. No matter what, no matter anything. So in light of that, pray in the trouble. And pray the praising kind when you're not in the trouble. That's the priority of prayer. The priority that prayer must have in your life and in mine. Just before we move on, let me leave you with this. Help you with this. Truth be told, I don't think any of us in the room needs to be convinced of the priority of prayer. We're there. We get it. We affirm it. We testify to it. Yes, amen. It's true. Prayer a priority. And yet my guess would be that everyone in the room would be inclined to feel, and by evidence of our own prayer life, demonstrate we don't pray enough. We need to pray more. Why the disconnect? What's the problem? We know prayer is a priority, but we don't pray. What are we missing? Maybe this would help. Consider this. If you don't plan it, you won't do it. Maybe, just maybe, help for you this morning in the priority of prayer. Most of all, in evidencing that priority in your commitment to pray. Make a plan. A plan that would maybe include time. Most plans include a time. Tomorrow, Lord, at 10 o'clock, I'm scheduling a meeting with you. No, I can't meet you at 10 o'clock because I'm already busy at 10. I've already got a meeting scheduled with the Lord. No, I can't take the phone call. I'm in a meeting. Me and the Lord are meeting. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock, maybe a place. Sometimes to have yourself a place of prayer might would help you in prayer. Lord, me and you tomorrow at 10 in my living room. We're going to meet together. That's the plan. How about this? I don't know quite the right word to use, but how about an agenda for that? Lord, tomorrow, this is the plan, me and you, 10 o'clock, my living room, and just so you can come prepared, Lord, I want to talk to you about my family, my unsaved son, my unsaved daughter. Lord, you got to reach out to them. Lord, you got to do something to make their heart to be drawn to you. Lord, I'm going to talk to you. You know I got that bad report from the doctor. So tomorrow at 10, Lord, me and you, we're going to meet in the living room. And I want to talk to you, Lord. What are you going to do about this? The doctor has said it's not good. I need you to bring healing. Tomorrow, Lord, at 10 o'clock, my living room, I'm going to talk to you about my brothers and sisters in the church, that you bless them, that you help them, that you encourage them, that you strengthen them today. I wonder, maybe all of us, maybe not, maybe just one or two, would better prioritize prayer if we had a plan for prayer. That's not James, that's just your pastor this morning, so you do with that as you please. Number two, the people of prayer. For you, for your trouble, you are the people of prayer. Look at it in verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. You do it. This is true. It can be very easy in our trouble to call on others to pray for us without us having prayed at all. Truth be told, we want to demand of others that they put in the prayer time for us that we're not willing to put in ourselves for us. We want to maintain our too busy to pray schedule, even in the midst of trouble, while at the same time wanting others to stop and drop everything and pray for us. No. You do it. You do it first. You talk to Jesus before you ask someone else to talk to him for you. Again, the same from a moment ago. You ought not to do anything else. Can I be honest? Just full disclosure. You ought not to call the prayer chain until you first have prayed. I'm glad for brothers and sisters, we'll get to it in a moment, but you ought not to call the brother or sister to pray for you until you first prayed for you. Before we do anything else, before we invite anyone else into our trouble, we need to pray first. You are the people of prayer. Are you in trouble this morning? whatever that looks like for you, frustrated, discouraged, burdened, in pain, sick, have you prayed about that? Notice it's not just you. Verse 14, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The word sick, immediately we would think of that in a physical context. And it is that. It applies to that. Listen, this is an incredible passage of scripture related to healing. The prayer of faith that makes the sick to be well. But more than just that, the word carries the idea of really any kind of weakness. Physical sickness will do that. It'll weaken you. But so will really any and all the non-sickness troubles of life. Frustrated, discouraged, unfairly, unjustly treated, under pressure, emotionally drained, burdened by life. Listen, you know it. That will weaken you. It actually can still weaken you physically. It can make you physically sick. But even if not that, it can weaken you emotionally, mentally. It'll weaken you spiritually. Maybe consider it in this context. You might say, I'm sick. Something is not physically right. I'm sick. But isn't it true? We also might say, I'm sick of this. Something just not right in life. I'm sick of always being in debt. I'm sick of always having the conflict with my neighbor, with the boss. I'm sick of having the conflict in my home. I'm sick of this that's always frustrating and always discouraging me. I'm sick of being constantly upset. I'm sick of being constantly in the trouble. Either way, verse 14 is for you. Is any one of you sick, afflicted, in trouble, and weakened because of it? That's the picture. That's the message here. Encountering trouble on the inside, on the outside, sick, in pain, physically in your body, physically from those persecuting you, tormenting you. That would be foreign to us. It wouldn't have been to the believers in James's day. Afflicted, suffering, sick, in pain, as it were, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, all that. Over even just a short period of time, that will wear you out. All of us would know it to be true. The trouble of life, physical or otherwise, it can beat us up and beat us down. Truth be told, some of you have maybe come into this place this morning and life has beat you up. And you come in this morning tired, weakened. Life can make us to buckle at the knees, leave us wobbling, dazed, and confused. Simply put, the trouble, it weakens us. You sure can. Troubles of life done that to you? Weakened you? Listen, then you're going to need some help. Verse 14 is your help. Weakened by the trouble of verse 13, more specifically, the trouble even making you too weak to pray. Have you been there? Have you experienced that? What you're dealing with, what you're going through, you feel, in fact, so beat up and so beat down by life, you feel so weak, you don't even feel you can pray. The praying you could do in verse 13, because you are the people of prayer. After all, you can't do it in verse 14. In your weakened state, as it were, it doesn't seem that your praying is getting through, that your praying is very effective, that your praying is accomplishing anything. Even in prayer, by way of prayer, rather than getting stronger, you're getting weaker. If anyone is in trouble, let him pray. But what if the trouble has so weakened you, you can't pray? you're going to need some help in prayer. So what do you do? Verse 14. You call on the other people of prayer. You call on the elders in the church, the spiritual leaders within the church. You call on the church so that they can do for you what you are too weak to do for yourself. You call on them so that they can pray with you and pray for you. No matter the trouble, you're sick with something or you're sick of something. It doesn't matter if it's weakened you so that this morning you're weak, too weak even to pray. You go to the spiritually strong so that they might pick you up and lift you up by their prayers. A few things here. Notice, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him. This is very practical instruction. Listen, you have to make people aware of your need before they know to pray for your need. Do you understand? Often we're inclined to think no one cares. Maybe it's just no one knows. No one knows because you haven't called on them. You haven't shared with them. We can't be afraid of honest and authentic confession of weakness with our brother and sister. Listen, we're a church family. With our brother, with our sister, we have to learn to open up and share more. Besides the practical, this is also spiritual. Listen, there's a measure of faith involved in calling the elders of the church. We want to sit and stay put. Well, God can heal me and God can strengthen me without me having to do all that. So I'm not going to. In effect, we ignore the instruction of Scripture. We make no movement of faith, and yet we expect divine, miraculous results from that. Listen, my brother, my sister, if you're sick, take the step of faith. If you're sick, follow very practically. Open up. Don't be afraid to confess to the elders of the church, those that are strong in the church, those that are the spiritual leadership of the church. Don't be afraid to call out to them and ask them for prayer. Also, notice this. The elders of the church, what do? They pray. Remember, prayer is the priority. We'll see it in just a moment. The power is found in the prayer. Listen, you want spiritual people in your life that will pray, that will intercede for you. Be glad for wise people in your life. Be glad for counselors in your life. But I'm telling you this morning, what you need in your life is the one who would intercede for you. Call down heaven on your behalf. Not counsel you, though there's time and place for that. Not advise you or instruct you. Not simply talk to you or talk with you when you're weak, when you need help. And the help is in the prayer. You need those who will pray for you so that you can have the help that comes from the prayer. With all due respect, what an elder, a spiritual leader, any brother or sister in the church has to say to you, it'll never be as powerful and effective as what they would pray over you and for you. Still more, look at it again in verse 14. If you're sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil. Related to this anointing with oil, there's really sort of a twofold perspective. The first is this. It's probably what we're familiar with. The elders of the church, the spiritual leaders of the church, they pray for the sick, anointing them with oil as they do that. It would be like this from Mark 6. Calling the 12 to him, Jesus sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. A few verses later, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. This is what we would do here on the occasion that we would have time to call people forward for prayer. We would invite prayer teams to come forward. We would invite the spiritual leadership, if you will, those that have been designated with that responsibility, those that have been tasked, even if you will, if we can say it that way, with that responsibility. And likely as you came to them for prayer, they would anoint you with oil as they prayed over you. It's not a weird thing. It's not an out of place thing. It's not even a traditional thing. It's a biblical thing. It's true, in Scripture, oil is used to represent the Holy Spirit. Anointing the sick with oil then could sort of be symbolic of His power, the Spirit's power, present in prayer. In Scripture, the oil symbolizes the sovereignty of God. Anointing with oil then could maybe be a way of expressing that this sickness is subject to God's authority and thus most certainly subject to His healing power. In Scripture, the oil was used to anoint God's people for service. Priests and kings were anointed with oil, set apart. Anointing with oil then, it was maybe sort of, or could maybe sort of represent that setting of the sick person apart for God's special attention. It might be that any of that might even be related to all of that. But here's the thing. Neither Jesus in Mark nor James in his letter, neither of them mention any of that. So in the end, we settle simply in this. It's right and good for us to anoint the sick with oil, pray the prayer of faith over them so that they might be healed. And despite anything that it could mean, really best for us to simply do that because God's word says so. And again from Mark, because it's the pattern that Jesus set for his disciples in their ministry to the sick. There's more though. In Luke chapter 10, we read the parable of the Good Samaritan. After being ignored by those that passed him by, this man that was beaten and robbed is finally cared for by the Samaritan who sees him. We read this in Luke 10 and verse 34. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Besides, for helping and healing, oil was used to sort of refresh a person. In Matthew 5, it's Jesus' instruction, don't fast. Walk around looking like you're fasting. Here's his instruction, put oil on your head. Wash your face. In Luke 7, the woman who had lived a sinful life, she breaks her alabaster jar over the feet of Jesus. When the host criticizes the Lord for letting her do that, Jesus criticizes him for not giving him oil for his head. It was customary. It was the right. It was the proper treatment of a guest after a journey to let them refresh themselves with oil. So then what we discover, the oil was a very tangible thing with a very practical application. You understand? This then the message. The elders are to pray. But in the praying, they are to bring the oil. They are to find out the tangible thing that can be done specifically through the church to assist in the weakness of that brother, the weakness of that sister, the tangible thing, the practical thing that they can do to restore strength, to help, to heal, to encourage. This the message, the picture here. It's the church coming together, yes, to pray for the member that's weak, for sure to pray for him or for her. But also, this is the church coming together. What can we do to help? This takes us back to James chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? It's no good. No good at all. Listen, in the end, the church ought to be the place where people can piggyback on one another to get to God. And the church ought to be the hands and feet of God to get the weak help from God so that they would be made to be strong again. Still another thing to notice here, the praying and the anointing, it's in the name of the Lord. This is identifying with the person of Jesus. All that he is, all that's consistent with him, all that would be on his behalf and for his glory, all that he would do. This is calling on, this is plugging in to the authority of Jesus. Listen, never be confused about it. The help, the healing, it comes from the Lord. Be careful, my brother. Be careful, my sister. Yes, there's the gift of healing that God gives to people within the body. But you have to understand, hear me. Do you understand this morning? Healing doesn't come from the oil. Healing doesn't come from the man. Healing doesn't come from the right setting, the right music that makes you feel just that right way at the right altar, in the right context, in the perfectly right setting. Healing comes from the Lord. Wherever the Lord would meet with you, there's the potential, there's the possibility for healing in that place. This is in the name of the Lord we pray. In the name of the Lord we anoint with the oil, because it's the Lord who has all the power. It's the Lord who does the healing. Number three this morning, it's the promise of prayer. Once more, verse 14. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray, to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Listen, God heals. God responds to the sick, calling on the elders of the church. The sick anointed with oil in the name of the Lord. God responds to the prayer of faith, and he makes the sick person to be well. He raises up. He strengthens the weak. It's true, though unexplainable by me, and I would dare say by any other person as well. You've maybe called on the elders of the church, been anointed with oil, the prayer of faith prayed over you, but you've not yet physically been healed. Listen, let me first say this. What we don't understand doesn't negate God's word. Believe his word. The promise of prayer. He is the healer. And by way of the prayer of faith, the sick anointed with oil, he does heal them. He heals you. But also it would help us, especially while still in the waiting, it would help us to recognize this. When you pray, listen, this is the real power, if you will. This is the reason, if you will, for prayer. When you pray, you gain access to grace. Divine grace. Do you understand? Whether the healing comes in that exact moment, whether deliverance comes, whether strength comes, you by way of prayer have experienced his grace. You know, through the problem, through the trouble, it's true, the Lord teaches us, shapes and molds us. In that sense, this also would then be true. The problem is probably not going away until God is finished teaching you that the problem was intended to teach you. So you pray, the oil comes out, and the elders pray, and yet the trouble remains. But listen now, don't forget, in the prayer, you have accessed his grace, and it's grace that sustains you. It's grace that strengthens you. It's his grace that makes the weak to be strong. But wait a minute, I didn't come for his grace. I came so that he could solve the problem, get me out of the trouble. But God says, no, wait a minute. There's a lesson to be learned in the problem. There's some shaping and molding to be done through the trouble. And you've not learned the lesson. I'm not done with the shaping and molding. So the problem is not going to go away. away. The trouble is going to remain. But here is my grace for you. Do you remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12? Three times he prayed. The prayer of faith, he prayed it. Do you remember that the thorn would be gone? But God said, no, not yet. There's a humility lesson, Paul, that I'm wanting to teach you. So the thorn stays. You know it though, right? But Paul, here is my grace. Do you remember? And my grace is sufficient for you. Paul's response, I'd rather have his grace. Because with his grace, even when I'm weak, I'm strong. Hebrews chapter 4, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. No doubt about it, if you're sick, if you're weakened by your trouble this morning, there's healing for you today. It's the promise of prayer. He's your healer. But whether or not the healing comes in this moment, now, before you leave the room, you can rest assured of this, that in prayer, you can experience, you can have his grace. And that would be divine energy for you. That would be divine strength for you. That would be sufficient for you. Grace is available, but only at the throne. And you can only approach the throne in prayer. He heals. He raises up. He strengthens. He gives grace. Look at it once more in verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Very important here that you're careful to notice the if. If he has sinned. I believe we have a twofold problem in the church. We have too many people going around labeling every sickness a result of sin. We have too many people going around making no connection between sickness and sin. Don't be either one of those problems. Not every sickness is the result of sin. However, there are some sicknesses that are. After healing the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus says this to him in John chapter 5 and verse 14. See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, therefore whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself then before he eats, before he drinks. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Listen now, that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Listen, just by way of a practical example, doctors have discovered that the following, listen, headaches, upset stomach, aches and pains and tense muscles, chest pain, rapid heartbeat, insomnia, frequent colds and infections, mental health problems, depression, anxiety, even personality disorders, cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, heart attacks and strokes, eating disorders, skin and hair problems, digestive problems, all of it can be caused simply by stress. Stress in your life can result in any of that list. You would understand. It's not those things that are always the result of stress. Some of those things can be inherited. You can have an upset stomach because you ate something bad. You can have aches and pains because you worked too hard. Not always the result of stress, but it can be. You would also understand. Treat it all, but don't treat the stress. And you're not going to get better at all. You're going to take care of one thing on the list, but the stress in your life is just going to cause something else on the list to pop up. You're not really helping yourself at all if all you do is treat the symptom and ignore the stress. And so it is with sin and sickness. It's not that it's for sure this, but it may very well be this. The trouble that has weakened you, afflicted you, even made you to be physically ill, it may be the result of sin. Before you pray the prayer of healing, you may first need to pray the prayer of repentance. That being said, can I encourage you? This is the message of James. We confess our sins to one another. That's not necessarily one by one going through the room, each one listing all our sins from the past week. That's living in an attitude of confession to one another, yes, but ultimately mostly to the Lord. Sin wants you alone. Sin wants you to hide. Sin wants to be kept in the dark. But if you leave it there, you can never experience healing from what it's done and is doing to you. Don't wait until you're weak. Don't wait until you're weighed down. Don't wait until you're flat on your back. Don't wait until then to repent. Confess the sin. Get rid of the sin. Live in an attitude of confession and repentance so as to receive then all that God has for you, so as to receive healing from Him. Listen, you pray. You call the elders of the church to anoint you, to pray the prayer of faith over you, with you, and for you, and He will heal you. He will raise you up. He will strengthen you. He will give you His divinely energized grace that is sufficient for you. And if you've sinned, He will forgive you. Finally, number four, it's the power of prayer, and we finish. James chapter 5 and verse 16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The Living Bible says it this way: the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. Notice it's the prayer of the righteous that has the power. This again, why we must deal with the sin in our lives. Psalm 66, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. In Isaiah 59, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Listen, nothing is accomplished by the prayer of the sinful. So once more, confess the sin, repent of the sin, be made righteous, and your prayer will be powerful, will be effective then, and result in wonderful things. The illustration, you see it clearly, is Elijah. Notice, a man just like us. He got tired. He got hungry. He got depressed. He got scared. Great prophet in the pages of Scripture, sure, but don't let that make you think he was extraordinary. He wasn't. He was most ordinary, just like you, just like me. But he was a righteous man, and he prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't. This ordinary man, this righteous man, he shut up the heavens with his prayer until it was time to rain again. Then he opened them back up with his prayer. Here it is this morning. Ordinary people, just like you and me, that walk in righteousness and purity and pray. Oh, their prayer. Listen, your prayer, our prayer is powerful, it's effective. It gets things done. It makes things happen. It changes things. It results in wonder-causing and wonderful things. Can I take us all the way back to the beginning then? This is why, above all else, before anything else, you and I, we pray. We do that because prayer Oh, it's powerful for sure. Listen, the prayer of faith in this place this morning, the prayer of faith prayed by you, my brother, you, my sister, the prayer of faith prayed by the brother, by the sister over you, that prayer of faith in this room amongst us, a bunch of most ordinary people. You have to hear me this morning. But that prayer has the power to bring strength to the weak, healing to the sick, and forgiveness to the sinner. It's powerful to do that for you and to do that for me in this room, right here, right now, before we leave this place. The power of prayer. Listen, no even beginning to comprehend what prayer can do for you and what prayer can do for me today. So, would you bow your heads and pray with me for a moment? Father, we welcome your presence into this room so that you might minister as only you can. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to invite you to do something within your church family this morning. I'm going to ask you if you're here in this place this morning and you're in trouble. It doesn't matter how you define that. Maybe it's something physically, emotionally, something spiritually. Maybe it's in your marriage, in your home, with your children. Maybe it's financially. There's the frustration. There's the burden that you bear. There's the discouragement. Very simply put, under the big umbrella, you're in trouble. If you're here this morning and you're in trouble, I'm going to invite you to stand in just a moment. Not yet. Because I'm also going to invite another group of people. If you're here this morning, and whatever the circumstances of your life, it's a little bit of confession. I'm going to invite you to stand. If you would say, I'm weak. The sickness, the turmoil, the trouble, the frustration, it has weakened me. Amongst your church family, your brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to not be afraid. I don't know if it would be one or if it'd be many, but if that's you this morning, in trouble, weakened by it, would you just stand where you are right now? If we're in trouble, we pray. If we're weakened by the trouble, we call the others of the church and they pray. You that are sitting in this moment, I'm commissioning you as an elder of the church. You're sitting, that means you're strong. If you're sitting and you're not strong, you should be standing. But because you're sitting, you're counted one of the strong. So quietly and quickly, find a brother, find a sister, and put your hand on their shoulder. Find a brother, find a sister, do it quickly. If you're sitting, you're the elder, you're the spiritually strong, find a brother, find a sister. Now, you that are strong, begin to pray for your brother, begin to pray for your sister. Pray the prayer of faith over them. Pray the name of Jesus over them. Pray the Spirit's power be manifested in their life. Pray that the sovereignty and the power and the authority of God would make itself known over whatever their trouble happens to be. Pray that God would set them apart this morning for a miracle. Come on. How else are we going to respond to James chapter 5 this morning? Except that we pray for one another. We call out to God. If you're in trouble, pray. If you're too weak to pray, you're standing and a brother or sister is praying for you this morning. We're believing God. Come on, there's grace that we're going to find at His throne. Supernatural, divinely empowering and energizing grace that we're going to receive right now. By your prayer, listen. All due respect, my ordinary brother, my ordinary sister, by way of your prayer, the Lord is going to work a miracle this morning. Bring healing to the sick. Come on, begin to pray. Intercede. Come on, you know, James, it's the fervent prayer. It's the fervent. Come on, don't be afraid to lift your voice. Don't be afraid to take authority in the name of Jesus. There's grace that must flow. There's healing that would come. There's deliverance. There's salvation. There's strength. There's strength. Come on, my brother, my sister, there's strength for you this morning. You feel those hands on your shoulder. That strength for you this morning flowing from God's very throne into your life. Be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Be healed today. Oh, we pray for miracles in this room, Jesus. We pray for miracles in this room. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want some folks to gather around Linda and begin to pray for Mark. Healing for his body. Her son needs healing from cancer this morning. Needs grace to flow from God's throne to strengthen him in the midst of real, real, serious trouble. Maybe one or two or three or four, the Lord would burden your heart for someone in the church. Maybe for Carol, who needs a touch from the Lord. Sick. I don't want to put words in her mouth. I believe it's what she would say. Worn out, tired. Sick of being sick. Sick of being in pain. Come on, that's a weakened sister. So you that are strong in this place, begin to intercede, begin to pray. I know it's a little different, but we can still pray for her in this place this morning. Others, you know them. You know in this church family, those that need a touch from the Lord. Mary Ann's not here today. Somebody can stand in the gap and pray for her. Begin to intercede for her. This is what we do in accordance to James chapter 5. We prioritize prayer in this place. We make ourselves to be the people of prayer. Oh, come on now. We take hold of the promise of prayer. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. The prayer of faith will strengthen the weakened. The prayer of faith will bring forgiveness so that healing can come. The prayer of faith will. Say it will. It will. It will. Believe that it will. Don't doubt or question, but that it will. The prayer of faith will do it. Come on, thank the Lord for a moment. You're about to experience the power of prayer. Come on, you that are standing, lead the way. thank the Lord for the power of prayer that's been manifested in your life. The Lord's healed you this morning. The Lord strengthened you this morning. The Lord's helped you this morning. The Lord's encouraged you this morning. Thank Him. You've experienced. You don't need me to preach it. You know it to be true. There's power in prayer. You've been the recipient of that power this morning. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Lift your voice and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you for what you would do as this morning we respond to your word. Thank you for what you have done, are doing, are going to do through the most ordinary people of this most ordinary church. We thank you, Lord. May we not soon forget. May we never forget what we have heard here this morning. Help us to be a people of prayer, a church of prayer, like we've never been before. So that the promise would be ours and the power of prayer manifested all the time in this place and among this people. I know you're standing for a minute. Just lift your hands and thank Him. God, you're so good. Listen, God, He's so good. Oh, you're so good to us. This our song of worship. This our prayer of praise. God, you're so good. You're good to heal and to help and to strengthen. You're good to encourage, to provide, to bless, to make a way when there is no way. It's true, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. Come on, you know it's true. Don't be afraid to lift your voice. God, you're so good. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're so good to us. We thank you for how you have ministered in this place. And I believe it. I believe it. No matter how we came into this place, we leave strengthened in the name of the Lord because the promise and the power of prayer has been manifested in this place. And in our lives, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I pray that the Lord helps us in our prayer. Amen? Amen. Lift your hands. Let me pray the Lord's blessing over you this morning on the authority of God's word. Under shepherd of the great shepherd high priest of this assembly. Listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you. And no matter the trouble, give to you His peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Receive that, would you? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless.